Today is 12/17, almost Christmas, almost the end of the year. It's gone by so fast, hasn't it? Welcome to The Right to Reason. I'm your host, Robert Stanley, and this is episode 33. We're going to be talking about firebrand atheism, fighting God, fighting the religious right, making a difference. Today, we're going to be hearing from the president of the American Atheist, David Silverman.
And let me assure you that we are going to take our fight for economic justice, for social justice, for environmental sanity, for a world of peace.
And I think it should be religion treated with ridicule and hatred and contempt. And I claim that right.
One aspect of American U.S. life and culture that I think that does deserve respect and admiration is protection of freedom of speech. The U.S. is unique in the world in that respect.
The cosmos is also within us. We're made of star stuff. We are a way of the cosmos to know itself.
Quoting the Bible is not going to get you anywhere because you haven't demonstrated why anybody should consider the Bible to be true or authoritative.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Hi, this is David Silverman, president of American Atheists, and you're listening to the Right to Reason podcast.
Before Dave joins us, we're going to bring back Jason Hannerfeld. I know you guys remember him, guitar aficionado. We're going to play an interview from Democracy Now! Where Bernie Sanders is asked if he's going to run in 2020 as a Democrat against Donald Trump. Big news. Very excited about finding that out. Then David Silverman is going to talk to us about Mythicist Milwaukee and how that event is going to impact the approaching American Atheist Convention. What kind of changes are they making in light of the Sargon versus Thomas Smith debate that went down there? If you remember, a lot of speakers backed out of that conference, like Aaron Ron, Seth Andrews. We'll talk to David Silverman about all that right after our visit from Jason Hannerfeld right now.
Culture is not your friend. Culture is for other people's convenience and the convenience of various institutions, churches, companies.
We very naturally, as a cognitive and behavioral imperative, we form descriptions of the world and we try to figure out what's going on.
You base the design of rockets on science, they reach the moon. It works. Bitches.
Jason, you've been on the show before. How you been, buddy?
Good.
I understand you're a big Bernie fan like me. Did you hear his latest talk on Democracy Now? It was insane. I'm gonna play a quick segment of it. He is asked if he is going to be running in 2020, and then I want to get your opinion on that.
Sure. Will you be running for president again?
Now you sound... to the end of the program to sound like a mainstream media person.
Well, do I continue to sound that way if I ask you, would you ever consider leaving the Democratic Party that you are actually not a part of?
Well, let me answer the question. Is 4 years is a long time. I've got to, I'm going to be running for re-election most likely in 2 years from Vermont.
Yeah, can I just say, that was a low blow on Bernie's part, to accuse Democracy Now! Sounding mainstream. Like, that's the one thing. Like, for me, I get Democracy Now! Super liberal and all that, but I have never once, and I can't say this about CNN, I can't say this about MSNBC, I can't say this about any of these other places, ABC, whatever, I have never once fact-checked Democracy Now! And found it to be false or even twisted in a way. You know what I mean? Like, even where I'm like, they left some stuff out. Like, they are legit as fuck, you know?
I would agree. I mean, to be honest with you, the news station I like to go to when I come home is actually BBC.
I'm with you too.
I
like BBC.
Other countries' news just to really get a feel of what's going on in the world. Because if you listen to the news here, I don't know what they're talking about half the time. It's the same thing as just not, if you don't know what's going on and then you expect to have legitimate news given to you, by like CNN or Fox News. Forget it. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not, or it's going to be twisted in a way for their constituents. It always is.
At this moment, I think, you know, as now having been recently appointed a member of the Democratic leadership, my job with the help of everybody in this
room. Oh, my God. Just answer the question, Bernie.
And here's the bad news. We don't want just your money. See, and one of the things that
I love Bernie, but I feel like we forget he's a politician, you know?
Yes.
Like, as much as we support him, like, we forget, like, he doesn't always answer questions straight, you know?
Kind enough to donate.
Right.
And we appreciate it very much. I got to ask you a favor. Do not take up so much time, and I mean this very seriously, time of the candidates. They, if I have anything to say about it, they're going to be going to Kansas and Mississippi and Alabama, where they're not going to be raising money. They're going to be talking to working people. So we need financial support, but we don't have the time to spend an evening with 10 people. We need your financial help, but you have to allow serious people
for the top 1% of the top 10% of the
so that we can transform the politics of this country.
All right. Are you running? Well, even more importantly, are you running as a Democrat? That's what I want to know.
Is that a yes for 2020?
So no comment for 2020. It's a statement that it is a statement that we have to worry, believe me, about 2017 and 2018. And again, let me repeat what I have said.
2017 is over.
I believe absolutely from the bottom of my heart. Politics is not about a person.
I like
we
that.
We transformed this country not by electing some guy or woman to be president. We transformed this country when millions of people stand up and fight back.
Yeah.
That will result in good leadership on top. So the goal right now is not to worry about who's going to be running in 2020 or 2080. The goal now is to mobilize millions of people around the progressive agenda.
And finally,
you know, that was one of the things that I really liked about Bernie's campaign, even when he was running for president. He always put out the message, like, you know, saying to the young people, like, hey, you know, get involved in politics because you're going to be our future. You're going to be able to make the changes that are going to make things for the better in this country for everybody, not just one party, not just one person, but for everyone. Bernie's always been that way. And that's one of the main reasons why I love the guy to death.
Absolutely.
But I also have a personal story that will, you know, for me personally, it made changes in my life, but more importantly, my mother's. And here's the story in a nutshell. Some SOB at the Social Security office started pestering my mother about getting information from her, personal information. And until he got this information, he claimed that he was not going to be making or allowing her Social Security payments to continue. And when my mom tried to do everything that she could to get this information to this person, he still badgered her. So with my mom, not knowing where else to go or who else to talk to, she literally wrote a letter to Bernie Sanders and another senator that was in Vermont at the time. I can't remember his name offhand. And literally in a matter of a week, okay, this guy was, I don't know if anything happened to him as far as his job, but let's just say my mom's Social Security payments were not interrupted at all. And she even got a letter from Bernie and the other senator there saying that, you know, we're going to take care of this problem for you and we're going to make some phone calls. And it was done. I mean, you know, it was just incredible. Yeah. And, you know, my mom, I come home one day and my mom is singing praises, you know, for Bernie and for the other senator there.
That is incredible.
Yeah, it is. And for one moment in time, I was like, wow, man, this is the government working for us. This is what, you
know,
this is
how
you use that.
Freaking happen. You know? Yeah.
You know, my mom and she was distraught. I mean, she you know, she's not a young lady. You know, she was like devastated.
Sure. Because, well, it's terrifying. If somebody says your Social Security check ain't coming in, that would be terrifying.
Yeah, she's worried about paying her, you know, paying for her insurance and all this stuff. And it was just unbelievable that this guy had so much power out of nowhere. And then, dude, it was done. One letter to Bernie and I want to say Senator Leahy, but yeah.
He felt the burn. Incredible.
Yeah, like this guy actually called my mom up and apologized to her, and it was incredible. And after that, I was a Bernie fan for, you know, since then.
That's a cool story.
And when I found out he was running for president, there was no other votes on the ballot that I was going to vote for, you know. But unfortunately, after the Democratic Party just stabbed him in the back, literally, stabbed him in the back. I can't put it any other way. You know, I had to vote for Swillery, and I really didn't appreciate that. You know, so that, you know, I'd like to send out a big fuck you to the DNC for doing that.
All right, well, here he gets asked again, and this time he's not going to get around this question. Are you going to be running as a Democrat or not?
About the two-party duopoly, you yourself are an independent or a socialist. Would you ever consider the third party run, well, like joining with the Green Party?
You know, I did that. I in Vermont, as many know, I defeated Democrats and Republicans to become mayor, defeated Democrats and Republicans to make it into the Congress. Recent years, Democrats have been more sympathetic. And I've been a member of the Democratic Caucus for 25 years. So right now, I would not have accepted the position of leadership if I was not serious about fundamentally reforming the Democratic Party. So that's where my head is right now.
All right. So he's not saying he's running again, even though I think we're all pretty confident that he will. But when, and or, you know, in parentheses, if he runs again, it's going to be Democratic.
Yeah. You know what? Bernie would be a good thing for the Democratic Party, because the Democratic Party right now is, I don't even know what it is, dude.
They haven't changed, though.
It's an amalgamation, but I don't even know what of what.
But Jason, they haven't changed. Like, since the Hillary thing, they haven't made any kind of like, all right, let's straighten up. Let's get together. Let's figure this thing out. Let's be a progressive party again. They haven't made any changes. So, honestly, I don't know. I feel like they're just going to, you know, here we go again with Bernie. They're going to do it again. There's no change.
Yeah.
They didn't get the message.
Right.
And I'm absolutely confident that Trump's going to be an eight-term president. I mean, eight-year president.
Mm. Well, that's yet to
be seen. If he isn't impeached from the Mueller investigation. Yeah, right. If he isn't impeached, he's going to win the second term, because they're not throwing anything out there.
Well, I think at this point, it's a good time to drop yet another name into this, because there was a Granite poll, state poll conducted by the University of New Hampshire, that showed that Bernie Sanders, and this is today, would get 31% of the state's Democratic vote, followed by Joe Biden at 24%.
Oh.
So, you know, maybe Bernie's saying, oh, I might run, I might not, because maybe Joe might run. Because if Joe had run...
Who doesn't like Joe? Joe's cool.
Yeah, exactly. If Joe had run, of course, would have voted for Joe Biden. It's going to be it's going to be curious to see what comes up. I'm hoping that Trump is only a four-year president. You know, whatever gets his hand off the button quicker, I'm all for. Because I'm seriously wondering if we're going to go to war with North Korea. Like, you know, if that's the only spot left in the world where we could say, oh, things are just so bad there that we have to intervene.
I noticed that your passions about politics and religion and philosophy and that kind of stuff, that kind of bleeds into your music a lot. And I was hoping that you could tell us about Blood of Mercy a little bit.
Yeah, Blood of Mercy is, it was one of my first songs that I decided that I was going to do a song with atheist themes or views. And the reason is because I was driving home one day, and I'm flipping through I'm using the seek button now to find radio stations, because I'm in East Bubblefuck somewhere. And literally I came across like five different stations that were all playing Christian music. Some of it was folk music. And then, you know, some of it was pop music. And then the straw that broke the camel's back was the Striper came on. There was a Christian group called Striper back in the 80s.
Striper.
Yeah.
Do you remember Jars of Clay?
No, I don't.
Or DC Talk?
DC Talk.
I don't know. They were like Christian. When I was growing up, they were like Christian bands that I used to listen to.
And I turned away from Christian band, like vampires turn away from the sun. It's just. And so at that point, I decided, you know what? I'm sick of this. There has to be music out there that has, you know, that's done by atheists, that have atheist themes and talk about atheist things. So this was my first crack at writing a song that was about
this atheism. Was it. This was your first.
This was it. Like, this was my, I sat down and I wrote this song, and it's called Blood of Mercy, because this is the chorus of the song. History shows that there's no God without blood on their hands, especially the one guy that loves blood, period, is the Abrahamic God.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really what this song is about, just is, you know, blood of mercy. You know, here's a God that's supposed to be merciful, but there's blood everywhere, you know? And it's just like, what is going on? But really, I didn't do the song because I had decided on the message. I did the song because I think there just needed to be more atheistic music out there and hard-rocking atheistic music.
Hell yeah, man. And Jason, how can people find this song and more of your music, buddy?
I'm located on soundcloud.com/Jason-Hannifeld.
Jason was awesome. Such a cool dude. Just a reminder, you can watch the show by subscribing to our YouTube channel. You can also learn more about us and follow our social media links at therighttoreason.com. It is now time to talk to David Silverman. David Silverman, happy to have you on. He is the president of American Atheists, that you can find at atheist.org. I just found out, because we've been chatting a little bit, Dave, that you are a former inventor. That's pretty awesome. Also, Mr. Silverman has appeared on most major news programs, including The Real Story with Gretchen Carlson, Ronan Farrow Daily, Scarborough Country, CNN's Paul is on Now, Nick News, Hannity and Combs, Fox and Friends, that must have been painful, NPR's All Things Considered, and of course, The O'Reilly Factor, spawning the famous WTF meme face. I don't know if you guys know which one I'm talking about, but it's David Silverman, and it's like his black and white image of him saying, like, what the fuck? It's back to O'Reilly. And either way, really happy to have you on, Dave.
Hey, Robert, thanks for having me on the show.
So I understand you have got a conference coming up.
Yeah, well, we've got a conference coming up. And so the American Atheist National Convention is the oldest, longest standing atheist convention in the country. And we strive to have it in red cities all across the country. And this year it'll be on Easter weekend, which is March 29th to April 1st in Oklahoma City. Now, here's the bad news is I can't tell you all the wonderful people that are going to be on the show because we haven't released all the information yet. But I can tell you that we strive at American Atheists to have a convention that is not like the others. We strive to have one that is different, that has a different feel to it, a different set of speakers. And I am really happy with the speakers that we're going to have at this convention. We're going to have the thing about this convention is that we're trying to make it accessible to everyone. We're trying to make it open and accepting and welcoming to everyone. And at our last convention, I had to give the speech, underscore had to give a speech, that we don't want atheist Nazis, we don't want white nationalists, we don't want any of those people. I used to bang the drum about, hey, every atheist is welcome. And at the last convention, I had to put a stop to that and say, hey, you know what, there is this line too far. And so the underlying theme of the American Atheist National Convention for 2018 is hearts plus brains minus assholes.
It's so, a whole anatomical thing. That's cool.
Yeah, hearts plus brains. I give speeches and I go on TV, I go on O'Reilly Factor, and I talk about firebrand atheism. And a lot of people paint me as this dick, as this bad guy, as this who just likes to poke at things. But really, the big idea is that firebrand atheism is the nice guy approach, is the nice guy approach. And that the so-called nice guy approach, the so-called I'm okay, you're okay, this is your truth, this is my truth, that is cowardly, that is not humanistic, that causes harm, that helps religion, that causes harm. And so firebrand atheism has humanism as its heart. Firebrand atheism is the good guy approach. And so what we want to do for the American Atheist National Convention is convey that, bring in the heart with the firebrand atheism so that people know that you can be the firebrand atheist and still be nice and still be wonderful like I am and still be caring, because firebrand atheism is a symptom of caring. And yeah. So at this convention, the website is atheists.org. It's plural, A-T-H-E-I-S-T-S.org. And we haven't announced a speaker roster yet. We're not selling the tickets yet, but we will be like momentarily. So please, while you're hearing this, go to the website and see if we've announced it yet. I can't tell you who it is, but we've got some really fantastic speakers lined up. I can tell you that we have a national church and state separation leader that does not do a lot of visits on the roster. We have a global feminist leader, a kick-ass feminist leader on a global level who is coming. We have a lot of, like, really, I wish I could tell you the rest, but the point is, please go to the website, atheist.org. Please mark the dates for a hearts plus brains minus assholes convention where everybody who is nice is welcome. Everybody who is good is welcome. If you've been an asshole in the past and you'd like to try not being an asshole, you're definitely welcome. Please come. We're not shutting anybody out unless, of course, you're currently an asshole. And if you're currently an asshole, you can stay home.
You still haven't, that one guy, what's his name? Robert Stanley from the Right to Reason podcast as your opening speaker, right?
I can't confirm or deny that, Robert. But I can confirm that there will be other speakers. The location is really nice. A lot of people don't know this, but Oklahoma City is actually a nice place. And they have running water. They have, you know, cars. And they have street and underground plumbing. And they also have this really great area called the Brick. I believe it's called the Brick Walk, which is like a walking bar pub crawl place just like a quarter of a mile away. So we're going to flood that place with a lot of semi-drunk happy atheists one of the nights that we're there.
Hey,
it's going
to be fun. That's the best kind of atheist. So.
And you know, I think, yeah, well, you know, it's something that I feel very strongly that atheists, the American Atheist Conventions need to be fun. They need to be fun. They need to be interesting. They need to be memorable. They need to be different. So, I mean, there's a lot of conventions going on right now. There's a reason we're still the biggest and the best, and that's because we keep it fresh. We keep it different. And so I hope you come to the American Atheist Convention. It's going to absolutely kick ass.
Are we
going
to be able to purchase your book there?
Yeah, we'll be able to purchase my book there. My book is on sale now. So Fighting God is the name of my book, and it's the first atheist manifesto of its kind to be published by a major publisher in American history. My agent, my literary agent, is Barack Obama's literary agent.
Whoa.
My agent is Obama's agent. And my publisher is St. Martin's Press, one of the largest publishers in the world. And they sent me on a large book tour. I went on a book tour that covered five countries, three continents. And it was a really amazing experience. And the book is now out on paperback. In a second revision, there's an actual addendum on the paperback about Trump and Pence that I wrote specifically for the paperback version. The idea behind Fighting God is a lot like what I say. It's the fact that firebrand atheism is more effective, and it is the nice guy approach. And I don't just make that claim. I support that claim with quantitative data from multiple independent sources. I am a data guy. You mentioned that I used to be a professional inventor. I know numbers. I deal with numbers. I also used to be a professional market researcher. I know my numbers. I know my quantitative stuff. I know how to create skeptically sound arguments. I know how to apply skepticism to my own views and see if they stand muster. And I make the point in Fighting God that firebrand atheism is nicer than the nice guy approach. And it also is more effective than the nice guy approach. And I can make that argument pretty well. And the book, I'm very happy to say, is being widely reviewed positively. 4.75 stars out of 5 now on Amazon, which
fantastic.
Is
fantastic. Fantastic.
It's exciting and it's gratifying to see that level of productivity and that level of support from the atheist community. And, you know, I have a lot of detractors in the atheist community, and this is the best part. I have a lot of detractors in the atheist community, and a lot of them went silent when I published Fighting God. Because I make a cogent argument. Because I make a cogent argument, and because I'm right. I really am right.
Well, what do you think caused that division there?
Well, because people don't like... So that's the interesting question, Robert. A lot of atheists hold on to some of the brainwashing that they receive as children, even as they dismiss the dogma of religion. So you'll get a lot of atheists saying, well, I don't believe in God, but I still think religion has a place. I don't believe in God, but I still think religion is good. I don't believe in God, but my grandmother needs it. No, your fucking grandmother does not need it. It does not have a place. Your religion is a lie. No, the reason your grandmother thinks she needs it is because she's been lied to by religion. And the reason you think your grandmother needs it is because you've been lied to by religion. You've been lied to by religion on a whole bunch of different levels. And yeah, one of them was that there's a man in the sky, but another one was that religion is good, that religion has a place, that religion is needed and necessary in society. A lot of atheists still think that way. And so when you come up to them, they think they have this victory in their mind. Aha, I have gotten rid of all that, all those lies about God. They think they're done. They think they're done, and they think they've completed their journey. And they, and when you come to them and say, no, 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 you have farther to go, they resist. They don't like that news. It's much easier to say you're done. But the fact is that the large majority of atheists don't call themselves atheists because they don't want to offend people. Well, what the hell is that? They don't want to offend. They don't want to cause a fuss. They don't. That is all religious indoctrination. Those atheists who say, I'm not an atheist, I'm a secular, rationalistic, non-theistic humanist, they are victims of religious indoctrination. And they don't like to hear it, but they still are. And they can't support their argument. They can't support their, oh, I don't want to call myself an atheist because I don't want to tell people what I'm not. I want to tell people what I am. Well, that's all great if religion doesn't run the country, if religion isn't the default position. Because if the religion is default position and it's running the country, then you need to say, yes, I am actually not that. You need to be able to say that. And it's how you cause movement on a worldwide or a nationwide level, or at least even on a familial level. So a lot of people, when I started saying, hey, we need to call ourselves atheists, we need to be firebrands, we need to be unashamedly bashing religion, we need to trash religion because religion does in fact deserve to die, people say, people get defensive of religion. Atheists get defensive of religion, and it deserves to die just like every other series of lies designed to scam people. That's what Fighting God is all about. That's what the book is all about. That's why it's selling well. And that's the premise on which American Atheists is run now. And, you know, it's a little bit more refined than it used to be in previous decades. American Atheists has been around since 1963. We were founded by Madeline Murray O'Hare. And it's refined and it's modernized, but it is still firebrand atheism. But it's firebrand atheism with reason and cause and heart and love, because that's what I'm about. I am actually all about the love. I am actually all about the kindness. Because when you talk to somebody who says they love Jesus and they live for Jesus and Jesus and Jesus and Jesus, and you sit them down and you deconvert them, you're doing them a big favor. You're doing them a big solid. You're doing them a wonderful thing for their lives, and that's true. And if you sit them down and you say, I'm going to teach you why your religion is wrong, and they say, fuck you, I don't want to hear about it, fuck you, you atheist, fuck you, they still need to hear about it. It's still a good thing to tell them about it. It's still a nice thing to convert them. It is. You're still doing them a big fat favor, and when they swear at you and yell at you, what are they doing? They're defending the indoctrination that they've been receiving since they were children. So you're talking to a victim. You're not talking to an asshole. You're not talking to a bad person or an evil person. You're talking to a victim, and they need our help.
Well, speaking of being a firebrand atheist is actually being the nice atheist, I wanted to pick your brain about the atheists that I think you and I would agree are not the nice atheists, the ones that are, well, the assholes that you were referring to, and specifically talking about what happened in Milwaukee here recently. I don't understand where this group came from, but it seems to be a pretty sizable amount of our team here, and it's almost like we didn't know they were there all along.
And so we have to be careful not to categorize them and pigeonhole them. Okay. When I saw that video, I was angry, and you know they said, "Hey, I sent this person who was a victim of sexual assault a tweet that said they were too ugly to be raped." Or something to that effect.
Yeah, close enough. Yeah.
And a portion of the audience laughed and cheered. And I found that to be wholly repugnant. Now, a portion of the people who were laughing and cheering were laughing and cheering on the basis of supporting unlimited free speech. I get the argument. It's a very unnuanced argument. It was a very unsophisticated way to express it. the free speech issue is a nuanced issue. We don't want assholes. And so the free speech issue is a nuanced issue. So I'm taking an unnuanced approach just to give the signal. Hearts plus brains minus assholes is an unnuanced approach toward a nuanced problem. But really, the people who clapped because they cheer for free speech are unsophisticated, unnuanced, and need help. The people who clapped because it's funny to make fun of women who were sexually assaulted are assholes.
Oh, I see what you mean. And we're grouping them all together.
Yes, and so we have to be careful, okay? Because, and this is why those people who clapped in favor of free speech, look at where your lack of nuance landed you. Your lack of nuance landed you grouped in with people who make fun of women who have been sexually assaulted. Don't do that. This is where the free speech nuance comes in. You have to be nuanced. And this is why, you know, I'm just taking the unnuanced approach. Hearts plus brains minus assholes means if you're that person, and let's just say it, that guy who clapped because that woman who you didn't like got a harassing tweet about being sexually assaulted, for those people really need to check their morals. They really need to check their status. They really need to find out, you know, that's not a good thing. I mean, an example that I used is Laura Ingraham or what's her name? S.E. Cupp, okay? I don't know these women personally. I'm just saying, and I don't know if they've been sexually assaulted, and if they've been sexually assaulted, I completely am sorry, and I'm trying to use women that I know of that I really, really dislike on a political level that, as far as I know of, have not been sexually assaulted. So let's just pretend that I know for sure that Laura Ingraham has never been sexually assaulted.
Right.
And so I say, okay, Laura Ingraham has never been sexually assaulted. So let's just say that she had been. And I really don't like Laura Ingraham. I really don't like her. I've been up against her in person. I've been up against her on her show. I find her views repugnant, disgusting, reprehensible. But I would never make fun of her for being the victim of sexual assault. I would never do that to Kellyanne Conway or S.E. Cupp or anyone, because that's not what a nice person does, and we have to be nice people. Now, I could, in a certain situation, envision myself laughing at a tweet that wasn't like that, but may have been a little harder than it could have been. I would never laugh at a tweet that made fun of a person for being sexually assaulted. But I could imagine a tweet saying, making some sort of slightly over-the-line comment in the nation, in the effort of free speech. Fuck your God and his mother.
Yeah.
Okay?
Or anytime you characterize a meme as, oh, that's savage, or something like that. Like, it's funny because it's a little bit offensive.
Right. So if I said that to Kellyanne Conway or Laura Ingraham, I could say, ha ha, I made a free speech argument. But when you just take it to the line, and when you take it into the legitimizing or supporting sexual assault area, you cross a line and into being not nice, into being not good, not a good person. And so when we're looking at MythCon, we looked at a section of people who were there, a subsection of people who clapped at that tweet, and a subsection of those people who clapped at that tweet because it was funny to make fun of somebody who was sexually assaulted, and fuck her because she's on the other side and she's too ugly to rape. Those people made the entire conference look bad. Those people made everybody in attendance look bad. And those people made everybody who clapped. I mean, if you're on that video clapping for that, you look exactly like a terrible person. And that's why I want to make sure that the American Atheist Convention will not have assholes. So that's what we're doing at American Atheist, making sure that, you know, everybody is welcome except the assholes. Everybody is welcome no matter who you are except the assholes. And if you're an asshole and you're trying to reform, and if you clapped at MythCon because you thought the tweet was funny, and now you're listening to me and you're saying, gee, you know what? That was really a terrible thing for me to do, after all. I regret that. you are welcome at the American Atheist National Convention. You are. But if you collapse and you're defiant and you say, no, 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 fuck that person. She was a bad person because of political things and funny to make fun of bad people when they are sexually assaulted or people I don't like because they're sexually assaulted. That is simply not good people in my book. That is simply you being pretty repugnant, and that's not going to be welcomed at the American Atheist Convention. So when we're talking about MythCon, we need to be wary. We need to be – when we're talking about assholes, we need to be wary of pigeonholing people. We need to be wary of being unforgiving. We need to allow people to get better, to heal, to repent. We need to allow that because we need numbers. We need people. We need donors. We need members. We need large numbers. And we need large numbers of good people. So I am hopeful that the number of assholes in this movement is smaller than we all think it is. But we cannot deny their existence anymore. Yeah. And we cannot deny that we don't want them at the American Atheist National Convention. And so what we have to do is make sure that we are nuanced in our criticism. And I believe that the nuance in our criticism of the assholes is to zoom right in on the assholes, not on the people who did an action and not on the people who once upon a time were assholes but now don't want to be assholes anymore. We have to allow them in. We have to give them leeway. We have to give them the opportunity to learn and grow. I have grown over the past many years, and over the past 3 years personally, I've gone through a lot of growth. And people need to allow that. Atheists need to allow that. On the other hand, we do not need to tolerate assholes. And if you're currently an asshole, dude, just stay out of my mind. Stay out of my friendship circle. Stay out of my membership base. American Atheist does not want your money. American Atheist does not want your membership. If you think it's funny to make fun of a woman, any woman who has been sexually assaulted ever, you need to check your morals and get back to us when you feel better, because that's not where we are.
On the subject of sexual assault, I noticed here recently, Roy S. Moore, this is from New York Times, Roy S. Moore on Monday was accused of sexually assaulting someone that was 16 years old.
Yeah.
And this is when he was in his, I want to say it was his mid-30s. Beverly Young Nelson told news reporters that, there's a quote, "I tried fighting him off while yelling at him to stop, but instead of stopping, he began squeezing my neck, attempting to force my hand into his crotch." And it goes on. It gets pretty graphic, but really sad. And, of course, we know that's wrong. And, yeah, it's possible that that accusation isn't true. Yeah, we don't want to take that typical route of just assuming that things are false as soon as we hear them, because that's what got us into this.
Holy shit! No, I assume that things are true. I believe the victim.
Absolutely.
No. We don't do the whole assume the things are false. That's what the evangelicals do.
Well, that's actually what I wanted to talk about, is the evangelical response to this. Not just the evangelicals, the Republicans are coming out of the woodwork here defending Roy Moore. And I'm thinking, boy, you guys already stooped to defending neo-Nazis in Charlottesville. And now you're defending pedophilia and sexual assault just to hold the party line. I kind of wanted to pick your brain on that, because this one, David, I got to tell you, this one's new for me.
What we're dealing with here is a phenomenon that's not unique to evangelicals, but it's something that religion does. Religion places itself above everything in your life, okay? Religion places itself above everything. There is so much horrible sin and debauchery in the Bible that they don't really even notice that when it comes to real life. So we've got evangelicals, and their number one concern is to support evangelicals. They don't care about the rest. That's their number one concern. Catholics support Catholics. Jews support Jews. This is in-group mentality, and this is what we're fighting. And what we can do about it is good, though, because, I mean, you see the same thing with regards to Trump. I mean, I think Donald Trump is an atheist, and I only support that with anecdotal evidence, but I do believe he's an atheist. What is he doing? He's giving religion all of these perks, like Betsy DeVos, Jeff Sessions, all of these perks, all of this weight, all of these prayer breakfasts, all of this stuff, because he knows that the evangelicals will support him unconditionally, because they support anything that supports evangelical Christianity unconditionally. That's why he's using them. That's why he's doing that so much, because he's corrupt and he's going to go through a Russian probe and he needs support. And so he's giving the evangelical right everything they could possibly ask for. He's secular America's worst nightmare because he's corrupt and he wants to leverage the religious right's power behind him so that he can survive impeachment. He knows this. So it's the same thing as Roy Moore, and it's the same, it's all the same mechanism. And the good news is that we can fight it. The good news is that we are going to see Donald Trump go down anyways. We are going to see Roy Moore go down anyways. And even if they don't, we are going to be able to highlight this hypocrisy to the next generation. And the next generation is a lot less religious than this generation. And when we can really link up truly immoral behavior, like selling the American election to the Russians, like raping or committing a sex acts against a little girl, a 16-year-old girl, when we can link those two together, the younger generation will see it. The younger generation will be much less inclined to follow that around. I believe that I still believe that we are seeing the death throes of religion. I still believe that we are seeing religion go down. It's going up first. And, you know, a lot of people saying to me, look at all these things that are against us. Look at all this pushing against us. And yes, you know, there are a lot of pushes against us, but the number of atheists is growing. The number of evangelicals is shrinking. The number of people moving from religion to atheism is growing. We're the fastest growing religious demographic in all 50 states. The waves are against us. The tides are against us. But somebody wise once said, the tide goes in and the tide goes out. And they do. It does go out. And once the tide goes out, we're going to be there pushing. We're going to be there pushing that tide. We're going to be there with a wave of atheist voters, a wave of secularism. And we will take this country back. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. And yes, I'll say it, it's going to take money. But we can and will still win this war in the long run. All the numbers are on our side. The long-term trends are on our side. We, as an atheist movement, got the teeth kicked out of our face for this election, and it's going to be a very tough 4 years. But if you come to the American Atheist National Convention, you will learn how we are going to be moving forward and taking this country back little by little over the next 4, 5, 10 years. You'll see. It's going to happen.
If anybody has been missing for the last, what was it, about 5 years ago, I guess? Here's a quick clip for you of when David Silver, one of the many times he was on the O'Reilly Factor, where this is the worst, dude. And your face, I wish I could show the audience your face in this situation. If you guys have a chance, go to YouTube and just type anything, Bill O'Reilly, David Silverman, something like that. And you'll get to see David's face in this response. But still, your verbal response is pretty damn funny, too.
That's not an insult.
It's not an insult to the people. People just following.
It's not an insult to the people.
It's a statement to the people who are following the religion. And really, it's attacking the people who are in the pews. Right. Wait a minute.
Wait. Now, I'm stick with the insult. Because this is certainly an insult, in my opinion. And I know I'm not the smartest guy in town. But, okay, so religion is a scam, but it's not the people's fault. They've just been lured in.
That's right.
Whose fault is it?
It's the leaders of the religion.
The leaders.
Of course. All right. I mean, this is not brain
surgery. Pope.
The Pope. Absolutely.
Right.
Look,
all of
this is not brain surgery, and this is not world news. Everybody knows religion is a scam. The only news here is
everybody knows. I don't know, Mr. Silver.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. I got
to
tell you.
You sit here and you're skeptical every day, and then you go to church and you get on your knees and you pray to an invisible man in the sky.
Invisible man in the sky.
You think that's a scam?
No, I don't. You know what? I'll tell you why.
A man that was built by a man.
I'll tell you why it's not a scam, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
All right? Tide goes in, tide goes out. Never a miscommunication. You can't explain that. You can explain why the tide goes in.
Tide goes in, tide goes out.
See, the water, the tide comes in, and it goes out, Mr. Silverman.
Maybe
it's comes in
on top of Mount Olympus who's making the tides go in.
No, but you can't explain.
I really liked my appearances. I had two good appearances on the O'Reilly Factor. And I would like your people to, I would like your listeners to Google both of those. I was actually on his show 3 times, but I believe only 2 are on YouTube. I'm proud of both of those appearances. I'm proud of the way Bill and I had a pretty good rapport. Actually, we had a good TV camaraderie going on there. And I'm proud of those appearances. And I'm proud of the fact that I was able to keep on topic. A lot of people say, well, why didn't you tell them how the tides work? And, you know, the quick answer is, if you listen to that clip, you'll see that I was trying to con him, to corner him into saying that religion is a scam, and he was trying to change the subject. And I didn't want to change the subject.
You can't let them switch up on you like that. Because I noticed that with a lot of these guys, whether it's for political reasons or just the religious reasons or whatever, that they'll try to just throw out some crazy comment that they don't have to be held responsible for. You know, because all they wanted to do was get you off track. And all you did was show, I'm not going to take the bait. You're an idiot because you don't understand science. Let's stay talking about American atheists and what we're doing. I think it was billboards for Christmas or something.
It was a scams billboard. And talk, he wants to change the subject. And sometimes you just can't let him change the subject just because he wants to.
How can people get a hold of you? And once again, how can they find out about this conference coming
up? So once again, the National Convention of American Atheists is March 29th to April 1st. And we're going to announce the speakers roster soon, maybe before this podcast is aired. So please go to atheists.org, atheists.org, and look at our convention website. Tickets will be going on sale soon. It is going to be a fantastic convention. And yes, I say that every year, but yes, we have a fantastic convention every year. And we have the best and biggest conventions, atheist conventions in the country, so please come. It's going to be happy. It's going to be fun. It's going to be welcoming. It's going to be accepting. Hearts plus brains minus assholes. For the American Atheist National Convention, March 29th to April 1st, 2018, atheists.org. My book is called Fighting God, An Atheist Manifesto for a Religious World. You can buy it anywhere. And the paperback edition is now out. Their first edition is still available. If you go to atheists.org, you can buy a signed copy of Fighting God, and you can get a membership in American Atheists as well. Listen, I have to talk about American Atheist membership. I mentioned money before. People don't like it when I ask for money. I ask for money anyways because guess what? Activism costs money. American Atheist is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We have our financials audited voluntarily every year, and we publish those audited financials on the web so that you can see how your donation dollars are spent. We have no mortgage. We have solar panels on our roof, so we have no electric bill. Almost all of your donation dollars go to fund activism, real activism. And all the activism that we do is done by 6 employees and a huge swath of awesome, wonderful volunteers. So please support American Atheists. If you can do $10 a month, that's wonderful. $10 a month is a big deal. So please join American Atheists. Give us money if you can do $10, if you can do $100, if you can do $1,000 a month. Yes, we need that kind of income because it's getting hard. It's getting difficult. We have a mission and we have a lot of opposition right now. The games have changed. And we need your support, not just in Facebook likes, but in donation dollars. Please go to atheists.org. Join up as a member, and you can get a copy of Fighting God signed for $50, including membership. So please give us a look out. My Twitter handle is at Mr. Atheist Pants, which was something that Stephen Colbert actually called me that on the Colbert Report. So I stole it, and I made it my Twitter handle, Mr. Atheist Pants. And, of course, you can find American Atheists and me on Facebook as well. And thank you very much, Robert, for having me on your show. I really do appreciate you letting me get in all those plugs and spend all that time talking about the stuff that we're doing. I have just scratched the surface as to what American Atheists is doing. I would love to talk to people in person. And if you come to the convention, I'm going to lay out a plan that will hopefully be really supportive and really motivational. So please come to our convention. Please join American Atheists. Please buy Fighting God. And please tell everybody about this podcast because I think it went really well.
I understand. Before I let you go, David, you also got a charity going on right now. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, this is an important part of the American Atheist Convention that is really important to me, and that is charity. That is the giving back to the community. And so one of the things that we're going to be doing this year at the American Atheist Convention is we're going to be doing a food packing drive for a local food bank. So that means that, you know, people are going to don plastic gloves and hair nets, and we're going to pack food for hungry people because, again, we care and we want to help the community. So it's just one of the ways we've done something for charity one way or another. But I think this year is going to be our biggest push to do good in our local communities, to show people that Firebrand Atheists have heart and want to do this stuff because it's good to do this stuff. So if you come to the convention, I hope you bring hairnets, but if you don't worry, we'll have plenty to go around. And bring some time. Stay till Sunday night. We're actually going to have a special after party for people who do the food packing drive just to celebrate that. And you get a special shirt, too. So please come to the convention and give yourself a little extra time to do some charity at the back end.
After the food drive is the after party, and after the after party is the hotel lobby.
That's correct.
Right? That's awesome.
That's
correct. Thank you, David. Thank you, David Silverman, and thank you to our patrons. My Humble Assault just bumped their pledge big time. Wow, thank you. It means a lot. Also, I wanted to thank a friend of the show and fellow meme connoisseur, Matthew Lunn, who has joined the Right to Reason support team and contributed to Patreon this week. Thank you, Matt. If you want to support us, this movement, this message, follow these fine specimens example and go to patreon.com/right. That's patreon.com/right. I'm going to let Mr. Hannerfeld play us out, and you keep rocking for your right to reason.